Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch and travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight, including the state of the economy, the rights of grandparents, the saga of Squirrel Dan, travel safe and keep safe this Christmas, which means don't drink and drive.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, let's check the news headlines. First am I, John Moss.
First am I, Andy. A man whose cabin in the woods was nominated for a biosphere award is being taken to court by the Department of Environment for trespass. Dan Richardson has been living off-grid in his home in a field below Ramsey Forest for almost 2 years without consent or planning permission. The department wants him off the land. He faces a charge of trespass along with a fine of £500. Manx Telecom is tomorrow once again helping bring festive spirit to the streets of Douglas by sponsoring this year's Christmas Lights Switch On. The event is organised by Douglas Borough Council. It'll be happening on North Quay this year. And Christmas shoppers will be able to park for free in a number of Douglas car parks in the run-up to the festive period. The Department of Infrastructure is not charging those using Lord Street, Parade Street and the Tongue after 5 p.m. each weekday from tomorrow and all day at the weekends. On Douglas Borough Council is also making Shoresbrow and the Bottleneck free on Thursday evenings as well as Saturday and Sundays. And looking at some roadworks which are happening this evening, which will interest you, on Cool Road, temporary two-way traffic signals in operation from 6:30 this evening till 10 p.m. to enable Christmas light installation. Finally, senior royals have congratulated the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh, celebrating their 72nd wedding anniversary. Prince Harry and Meghan also used Instagram to share their messages of goodwill, while the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge posted images from the past to mark their occasion. There will be a drinky boo or two, I think, in the palace this evening. Those are the headlines, Andy.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From Ronald's Way Met Office, there's a gale warning in operation out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On the island, a dry evening and overnight, minimum 5 degrees, but it will be colder over the hills. For Thursday, Jourdain, cloudy with occasional light drizzle and a strong east-southeasterly. A daytime maximum 9 degrees tomorrow, persistent rain overnight into Friday. And for Friday itself, Jehenia cloudy with intermittent rain on a fresh to strong southeasterly and 10 degrees Celsius. The sunset at 12 minutes past 4 this afternoon, sunrise in the morning at 4 minutes to 8 o'clock. High water was about 10 minutes ago. Low water's at midnight tonight. High water tomorrow morning is at 9 minutes past 6. And the lunchtime low tide for Thursday, 21 minutes before 1.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascias and soffits, visit Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom in Snugborough.
It's not something you hear a lot about. Laws concerning the access rights of grandparents to see their grandchildren are to be investigated by a Tynwald committee after Tynwald Court gave the go-ahead yesterday on Tuesday. With an impassioned address, Julie Edge MHK successfully moved a petition on the issue, which was presented to members on Tynwald Day this year. The member for Onchan voiced concerns about what happens when parents separate.
Not only does the child have to deal with the parents splitting up, but they often lose contact with grandparents too. At a time in their lives when they may feel vulnerable, and the impact that may have on their mental health and well-being may well be substantial and long-lasting. But we do not hold this data. The truth is, we do not know that impact.
And Julie Edge MHK is live in the studio tonight. Why did you choose to pursue this petition?
Obviously, it was something I had interest in. I had been looking at the laws prior to the petition being raised. So as soon as I seen it, I thought, this is one that I really do want to look at and pick up.
Did you know Mr. and Mrs. Miles?
I didn't beforehand, no. But so obviously, I took the opportunity once the petition was received.
And what was the motivation for them lodging the petition?
Obviously, they are looking for access to grandchildren, and I've obviously met with them, and they have a number of friends as well that are affected in the same way that they're not getting access to their grandchildren.
How did you feel about Kerry Sharp making the point that access rights for grandparents could cut across rights for parents?
I appreciate that that is a concern, and it was a concern when I was bringing it forward. And I think actually it was great to, that Mr. Cretney moved that it should go to the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, and I sit on that committee because that gives the opportunity to look at laws that do cross either through Department for Health Social Care, through Education, and through Department of Home Affairs as well. So I think it's the right place. It sits in the right place. I think parents, it is all very on the parents' side at the moment, but these children might have loving relationships with their grandparents that could be stopped. And I think it does need looking out without looking at it. And so many people have come forward and spoken to me about it. It is a problem. So therefore, if a petition is presented to Tim Warnes, I think it's right that we pick it up and we look at it.
At the middle of this is the child. And the child must always come first as well. Mm-hmm. Who do you think should make the decision what is good for the child?
It'd be great if we could say the child. And I think, unfortunately,
they're often conflicted, though.
They are, and it's very difficult. And I think we need to take that away, but to make sure that there's fair laws in place that protects them when they probably are at their most vulnerable, to ensure that they are not affected. I think, and I did say it during the debate, we are seeing a rise in mental health issues with the young, and I do wonder if they haven't got positive role models in their lives, whether that could be one of the reasons.
Now,
grandparents, we all love our grandparents. Well, I'm sure most of us do love our grandparents. They have been positive influences for the majority of us.
Politics can be a dry business, but nobody could mistake there was an emotional undercurrent to your address to the court. Why was that?
Obviously, I am a grandparent. I have had these difficulties. I'm really happy to say that they're resolved. They were through no fault of my own. They were through no fault of my granddaughter's. And, you know, it is difficult, and I totally understand that we need to look at this because it does have an impact. And I hope that we as an island can look at this positively for our people to make sure we've got fair legislation in place for access. It has been done in France under the EU laws, and I think we need to be looking at everything to see if there is a way that we can make this a process that's fair, easy access, and that shouldn't be taken away from the child.
And do you think that grandparents as role models can, if anything, bring a broken family together?
I'm not saying that that's the solution and that's possible. I think it helps that child keep the stability for them in their lives of having positive people around them, whether that's their parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. You know, there's an awful lot of people in extended families that contribute to the best welfare for children.
And the next stage is what?
Well, it's obviously now gone to Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, and that'll be picked up, and a report will be presented to Tim Warnes. The date was July 2020, so hopefully enough information. It gives the opportunity through that committee to have, you know, to interview lots of people and look at various legislation from elsewhere. So.
Julie Edge, MHK, thank you for contributing tonight.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
We've seen two recent government reports which give some indication of how the Manx economy is performing. The National Income Report 2017-18 and the Labour Market Statistics for the last month. October showed a small increase in unemployment on the previous month and a slightly higher than October 2018. Manx Radio's Tim Glover has been talking about the figures with Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas, MHK. Firstly, those out of work.
They are, and these are monthly figures. Sometimes I wonder whether we need monthly figures. Perhaps we'd be better off having quarterly figures, which got rid of some of the volatility between individual months. Yeah, we have to pay attention to all the information that we get, but it's not a massive indication of a new trend. We've still got very low unemployment in the Isle of Man, 0.8% by the claimant count, and closer to 2% by the International Labour Organization method. Very, very low in British terms and in European and, in fact, in world terms.
So you're not panicking about a slight increase in this month?
Our problem is exactly the other way around. In the Isle of Man, we're trying to grow the economically active population, and it's being held back in some senses by the number of people here. So in actual fact, we need to focus on retraining, increasing the earning available from those jobs, and we've got a shortage of people in most places. 0.8% is an incredibly low statistic for unemployment.
It's the same sectors, though, that keep reoccurring where the vacancies are and where the gaps are.
It is very much so. So that's why it's a structural issue, and we've got to focus on earnings in those sectors, and we've got to focus on training for those sectors. Very much, you've nailed it. We haven't got an issue across the board, but we have got an area in particular sector, an issue in particular sectors.
Just broadening it out, we recently had the 2017-18 economic statistics come out, and once again, e-gaming was very much dominant. But there are concerns that 2018-19 e-gaming has had a few issues.
You're right. Again, it's back to that statistics issue in the Isle of Man, because although we have a large economy of 5 billion plus now, it's an economy where we're not going to have lots of companies in each sector if we have a diversified economy. And we've, for 10, 15, 20 years, we've tried to diversify our economy, and now we have 20 plus active sectors, of which e-gaming is a very important component. So you are right, if one company sneezes, it affects that whole sector, because we don't have hundreds of companies in each sector. Sometimes we only have four or five companies, large companies in a sector. So what I'm saying is the Isle of Man economy amplifies volatility, it creates volatility, and that's why it can be quite confusing for people observing our national income figures. They go up and down a lot.
Insurance is another big player, isn't it? And financial services that were a lot bigger maybe 10 years ago aren't so big now.
Yeah, so in today's Timor, when I was asked a question about this, what I said was that eventually sectors that have had huge growth become mature sectors, and that's probably where we are with e-gaming. Likewise with financial services and insurance, they're massive sectors. And the way to deal with that is we've got to continue to diversify by building up new sectors. We've got to hope that people choose to live and work in the island and create those new sectors for us. And we do everything we can to encourage that. The other point to bear in mind is that we're better off with a diversified economy than an undiversified economy. And that's constantly being government's policy.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Here's what's happening at sea. The Ben McCree departed Heysham at 17 minutes past 2 this afternoon, expected in Douglas shortly after 6 o'clock tonight, and heading out at 7:45 to Heysham, arriving there approximately at 11:30. Remember, Manana no longer with us for the winter. The Steam Packet's Fastcraft will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th next year, the first sailing of the year. To Dublin is scheduled for the next day, March 28th, and the first to Belfast, April the 8th, 2020.
Book now for 2020 at steam-packet.com.
Good evening, this is Manx Radio. You're with Update at 16 minutes to 6. I'm Andy Wint.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Well, what's happening in the world of business? There's an awful lot happening in the world of business. While the rest of the world has cut coal-based electricity over the past 18 months, China has added enough power to power 31 million homes and is in the process of building or reviving coal equivalent to the European Union's entire generating capacity. China's reliance on coal was a key step in developing its economy and led to the famous one coal plant a week building program between 2006 and 2015. The downside was that it choked the air with pollution in many Chinese cities and led to huge overcapacity. Many of the plants only ran 50% of the time, and nowadays, in addition to building its own power stations, Chinese money is financing one in four of all proposed coal-fired operations around its borders. China to Wales, Aston Martin's launched its first Welsh-made car, which hopes will deliver a sales boost after posting losses of £13.5 million in the first 3 months to September. The Welsh government's pledged millions of pounds of public money to attract the car maker to the Vale of Glamorgan to St Athan. The plant is set to employ 750 people when operational. 750 people.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
And here's what's happening as far as the markets are concerned. The FTSE 100 closed slightly down, about 1% down at 7,262, spot 49. In Europe, the DAX in Frankfurt was up, down 0.5% at 13,158, spot 14. In America, short time ago, the Dow Jones Industrial Index in New York was down 0.25% at 27,861, spot 42. The NASDAQ Industrial Index, the tech stocks index, was 8,556.51, down 0.25%. And the S&P 500 in Chicago, down 0.1% at 3,115, spot 24. On the currency market, the pound is currently worth €1, 16.81 cents, and is worth on the dollar market $1.29.24. In the commodity market, the Brent crude barrel of Brent crude will cost you $62.59, and a gold price at the moment $1,464.90 per ounce.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Drink Safe Isle of Man is ramping up its efforts to crack down on drink driving as the festive season grows near. It's a collaboration between police, Public Health Isle of Man, Bus Vanin and other organisations. Travel safe and keep safe are the headline slogans for this year's campaign, which urges partygoers to think ahead, plan their nights out, drink sensibly and arrive to get home safely. Superintendent Steve Maddox says across his time in service, societal attitudes towards drink driving have changed.
Driving with alcohol a number of years ago was really a taboo subject. People wouldn't do it. We have seen a bit of a rise in younger people being arrested for being under the influence of either alcohol or drugs. So it is quite an interesting sort of question in relation to people and society's view on things, but I think the message has been hammered home, really, I think, to people, certainly about driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs. It is socially unacceptable. It can affect your employment status. You could kill someone. You could kill yourself. So really, I would say to people, just think of the consequence.
Manx Radio Sport.
With Tim Glover.
Pastor Mai, it was so close. Isle of Man golf professional Tom Gandy has missed out on a European Tour card for next season by one shot. He finished his sixth and final round at the qualifying school in Spain on 2 under par for a total of 11 under par for the week. The Rowney player is tied for 29th place. Of course, it was the top 25 in ties who were awarded a Tour card for next season. Gandy's performance, though, this week has seen him rewarded as he moves up from the EuroPro Tour to the Challenge Tour, which is just one below the main European Tour, and he gets a few invites as well. British Superbike Championship rider Glenn Irwin will make his Isle of Man TT debut next year as part of a new-look Honda Racing team. The team has announced Irwin will ride alongside Davey Todd, who had 5 top 10 finishers at this year's TT. The pair will race for the team in the Superbike Senior and Superstock races, replacing the 2019 lineup of David Johnson and Ian Hutchinson. Further afield, Jose Mourinho has been appointed Spurs, Tottenham's new head coach. He's replaced Maurizio Pochettino, who was sacked last night. They've also confirmed that Scaramento has been appointed as Mourinho's assistant, joining from French club Lille. And England cricket captain Joe Root has declared himself free of any Ashes hangover as he looks to revive his and his team's fortunes in the 2-Test series in New Zealand. That gets underway at the Bay Oval later on tonight. That's your sport.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Nothing to report on the Matrix signs at the moment right across the Isle of Man. Everything is clear. The earlier signs were cautioning fog on the mountain, but everything's fine at the moment. On the roads, the A5, Castletown to Douglas Road at Ballasalla, just after Blackmores or before Blackmores, depending which way you're going. The department's been informed by the lighting contractor that they've gone. The Ballasalla traffic lights, the temporary 24-hour traffic lights, have gone. Meantime, in Laxey, the A2 Douglas to Ramsey Coast Road got temporary traffic lights 24 hours a day between Green's Garage and Ard Rea to make the area safe from that potential landslip due to the recent tree falls. At Ren Cullen, Kirkmichael, temporary 24-hour two-way traffic lights in operation to enable culvert repairs. The Kirk Road in St John's, the Foxdale Road to St John's, that is, closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Still the issues at Glen Road in Laxey through until February next year. Laxey, of course, is open for business, and all the information at maxradio.com, trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks, and the ongoing saga of the prom as well. And that community tab has got a link to 18 webcams across the island. Currently at Ronald's Way, everything's showing inbound okay. Outbound, the earlier 5:10 to London City left shortly before 5:30. 5:25 to 6:00 Dublin is closed at the moment, heading a little late out. And the 5:00 to 6:00 Edinburgh flight is closed as well. Getting ready to clear off to Scotland.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
7:07 on Manx Radio. One man's conservation work has taken a step too far. Well, actually, 3 metres too far, in the eyes of the Department for the Environment. Just above Crossoaks campsite in Ramsey lives Dan Richardson in a wooden hut he made himself. There he lives an alternative lifestyle, where he keeps the glens clean, plants native trees and grows his own vegetables. But for all his good work, he's no consent or permission to do so, and as a result is being taken to court by DEFA, accused of trespass. Ahead of his court hearing next week, Mr. Richardson's appealed to the Environment Minister to stop the legal action, saying that he should be made a steward of the forest. Manx Radio's Aaron Ibanez has this exclusive report.
This spot chose me, and this way of life chose me, really. It's a lifestyle that I've opted into by opting out of sort of regular lifestyles.
For the last 18 months, Dan Richardson has been living in a log cabin he built himself in Ramsey Forest. It's a life of simplicity, free from most of the technologies of the modern home. And Dan, who lives off-grid, is driven by a sense of duty to nature. Over the course of 15 years or so, he's taken it upon himself to tidy up the glen, which he describes has been left as a dumping ground.
About 6 or 7 years ago, I spent, I think, 2 summers clearing out old machinery and rusty old cars, and I think it was a bit of an old lorry even in there. Just dumped in the glen. Yeah, I think we filled up about 4 skip loads of scrap metal over those couple of summers.
However, this self-appointed caretaker role in the glen looks like it might have to come to an end, as the Department of Environment has gave notice for eviction. A move which has perplexed Dan, having been nominated for an award at the department's biosphere ceremony and after being praised for his sustainable lifestyle by the Environment Minister.
Jeffrey Boot gave me a personal accommodation for what I'm doing up here, so I was happy with that. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a letter through the post saying, oh, sorry, mate, get off our land. So I'm a bit confused at the minute, I must say.
In a statement, a spokesperson for DEFA said, this area of land is owned by the government and no consent or planning permission has been sought for the structure, and the occupant has no permission to be there.
The value that Dan is bringing to the land here, you know, he's not just occupying a random piece, he loves and cares for the land and looks after it.
A close friend of Dan is Phil Crane, who believes the matter should be resolved outside of court.
I'm rock solid sure that it's a far better state now as a piece of natural woodland than it was 18 months ago.
Dan will appear in court before the Civil Summary Court on Monday 25th, next Monday, where he faces a charge of trespass. And if found guilty, will be fined a maximum of £500. After the news at 6 o'clock, it's Spotlight on Manx Radio, our arts programme. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader John Moss and producer Sarah Handy, I'm Andy Wint. An Update back at the same time, 5:30 tomorrow on Manx Radio.